Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open it to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. Thank you, children. We're so proud of these children and their love for the Lord. And I'd like to dismiss the children to Children's Church at this time. We have all kinds of people here at North Central. All people are welcome here, every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some just got married. Some have kids, some don't have kids. Some wish they could have kids. Many are here today. Many that are here today are believers, but not all. But we're all sitting here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. Jesus is wonderful. We're so grateful that you're here today. As we think about our series leading up to Christmas, we're talking about folks that are in the line of the King. And from Matthew chapter 1, we see the genealogy of Jesus. There's some interesting people in that genealogy. Let me ask you this question. Do you ever feel forgotten, lonely, just wondering if there really is a plan for your life? I believe that as you look at today's character, Ruth, I believe the Bible, in this Bible study, is going to show us God's providence in the affairs of his people. Now, we talked about Tamar, who was a Canaanite. We've talked about Rahab, who was from Jericho, of the enemies of Israel. We have observed that the intention of the Lord from the beginning was that all people of the world would know him, and it is an exclamation point once again today as we talk about Ruth. Let me tell you a little bit about Ruth's background before we dig into the scripture. In verses 1 through 5, we learn some things about Ruth. Ruth was from Moab. This place, Moab, was east of Judah in what is now modern-day Jordan. She would have worshipped the god Chemosh, a false god, a very hateful god to the people, because this god demanded child sacrifice. Now, I wonder, did Ruth sleep securely at night? Did Ruth lay in bed at night as a child and wonder if her parents were going to come and say that Chemosh wanted her to be sacrificed to their god? In this type of false religion, you would never know the future. You would never know what was going to happen to you. You just couldn't be sure about the future. I wonder if she took note of this and made it her question, and made her question her own religion. Let's look in our scripture right here in Ruth chapter 1, and I'll begin reading in verse 1. You follow along in your copy of God's Word. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. I'd like you to look in your listening guide, and the first point there is her background. We see in these verses her background. Now, as God would have it, there was a famine in Judah. And the man of Judah, a man named Elimelech, brought his family to Moab. Now, the word Elimelech means "my God is king." His wife's name was Naomi, and it means the word pleasant. She must have been a pleasant person to be around. Then Elimelech and Naomi had two sons, and their names were Mahlon and Chilion. Now, Mahlon is a word that means sickly, okay? It means sickly. And Chilion is a word that means pining or complaining. So perhaps this personified their personality and their physical makeup. But we know from the story in her background that Elimelech eventually died. What happened was Mahlon married Ruth, the subject of our message today. Mahlon married Ruth, and Chilion married a girl from Moab named Orpah. The father died first, and it was just the two couples and the girl's mother-in-law, Naomi. Well, then the boys died. So Mahlon and Chilion and Elimelech died. So now you're left with Naomi, the Elimelech's widow, and then her two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah. Now, I want you to imagine that through those 10 years that they were in Moab, all of this was going on. Ruth had been a follower of the god of Moab, Chemosh, and all of a sudden she has married into this family of Judah. I imagine that Naomi told Ruth about the god of Judah. I imagine that Naomi talked to her daughters-in-law and told them that God had created the earth in 6 days. I'm sure that she told them about them going through their ancestors, going through the Red Sea on dry land, these great miracles that God had done. That she told them about the people in the wilderness being fed with manna, that God had provided for them. They were fed with manna. Maybe the water gushing from the rock. Maybe the story, and we went through this last week, about the walls of Jericho coming tumbling down. All of these things Naomi must have told Ruth and Orpah about. Most likely they learned that God gave commands. The God of Judah gave commandments, but it was for man's good. And let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes we think, you know, our God gives us commandments, and he does. He gives us commandments. He gives us directives. There are ways that we are to live. I tell you, one of the things that has always been a joy to me is trying to convince men and women and boys and girls that all of the things the Lord commands us to do, all of the directives that God gives us to do, are for our good. They're a better way to live, because God is the one who made us. He knows more about us. He wrote the owner's manual, the Bible, and that's one of the reasons that we study God's word every day. But here was Ruth's dilemma. The God of Judah gave commandments for man's good. Chemosh, who she grew up with, wanted children to be sacrificed. Now, here she is in Moab with her mother-in-law and her sister-in-law, and they were all alone. They faced destitution. In this culture and in these days that the Bible was written, these widows without their husbands would have never made it in society. They faced a harsh, harsh life. They felt all alone. Now, there may be somebody here today that feels that way. Maybe you feel, maybe even as exciting as Christmas is, it gives you reminders of days gone by. I don't know how it is for you, but there are perhaps this is not always the best time of year for you. Maybe you feel lonely. Can I say this? Maybe Christmas doesn't even enhance that. Maybe you feel that all year long. Well, I'm here to say to you today that I think when we look into this Bible study, you're going to leave here today. I pray that you would leave here today knowing that God is working providentially. The word providence is from the word we get the word video from, and then the word pro means before. So God sees before. In other words, it's like someone saying, I'm going to see to it that this happens. Well, God's providence is working in your life. I believe with all of my heart that God takes an interest in every single individual on this planet. And let me say that again. I believe that the Bible teaches that God, and is in his omnipotence, I don't know how he can do it. I could not do this. Obviously, you could not do this. But God in his supernatural omnipotence, he takes a personal interest in every individual and is working behind the scenes to give them an opportunity to experience hope and new life. So maybe you feel that day, but let's look at some things about Ruth, and I believe it will encourage you. Number two, let's look at her decision. Now in verses 6 and following, let me read verses 6 and following, and you follow along as I read, beginning, this is Ruth chapter 1, verse 6. All right, it says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Remember, they came because there was a famine. There was a famine in Judah. And they're in Moab, and now Naomi realizes that there's bread to be had back in Judah. Verse 7, therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. Excuse me. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. And if I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and they wept again. They obviously loved one another, and they wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Verse 15, and she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But then Ruth said these famous words that are words that expressed some of the most beautiful words that express love when she said this, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Verse 18, when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. So her decision, we find that she made a decision to stay with Naomi. She made a decision that impacted all of the future of her life. And ladies and gentlemen, can I say this to you today? There is one decision that I can promise you will totally transform your future. It will totally transform your destiny. For me, it happened when I was a teenage boy in Jacksonville, Florida, and I had been involved in the things that teenage boys are involved in school and studying, and I'd been involved in some athletics on a minor level, and I'd done some things like that. I had friends and everything, but I always wondered what the future was going to be like for me. My father died when I was 16 years old, and it really shook me up. It made me think about the future and made me think about life and death. Most young people don't think that way, but that shook me up a little bit. I'll never forget my dad, after he died, going to the service, going to the funeral service of my own father, and how that really, really shook me up and made me think about my future. It wasn't long after that at the encouragement of my sister and the encouragement of my brother-in-law that I attended a youth camp. And at that camp, they told me about Jesus Christ. They told me that Jesus loved me, that he died on the cross for me, and that if I would give my life to Christ, if I would repent of my own ways, my own sin, and trust Jesus, that it would change my life. And I went to that camp because I heard they had a softball tournament, and I wanted to win that tournament with some of my buddies. But I left that camp with an assurance that Jesus Christ was my Lord and Savior. And can I tell you this? It totally changed the direction of my life. It totally changed me on the inside to want different things that I had wanted before. Now, the things that maybe I had wanted before, now my wanter changed, so to speak. And I began to grow. I began to understand that God's Word was the blueprint for life. And I'm so grateful and thankful because it did change the trajectory of my life. Now, made tons of mistakes, of which I don't want to air out in front of you. Is that okay? I made tons of mistakes, made many, many mistakes. Don't ever get the picture that you give your life to Christ and everything's perfect. Can I say that again? Don't ever get the picture that you give your life to Christ and everything's perfect. But I can tell you this, some very, very key things happen when you give your life to Christ. Some very, very key things happen about the trajectory of your life. That's what happened to Ruth. Ruth decided, I'm going to go with you. And so you could tell that Naomi wanted the best for her daughters-in-law. And so she said, why don't you go back home? You'll never have a husband. You'll be a foreigner in our land. You'll be back in Judah and you're a Moabite. And she said, why don't you go back home to your people? You have more hope there. They both wanted to return with Naomi. And yet, Naomi said no, and they wept. And then again, she insisted. She said, I cannot provide husbands. They would be, y'all will be foreigners in Judah. And they wept again. And then Orpah, the woman that had married Chilion, she turned and left. But Ruth made up her mind, and she said, entreat me not to leave thee. And I want you to know that she used a word in this passage when she said, and the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. She used the word Lord in verse 17, chapter 1 of Ruth, verse 17. She used the word Lord. The scholars say that that word being used by her is an indication she had made a decision to put her trust in the God of Judah and reject the God of Chemosh. So you see, she made a decision. Now, Orpah turned away, and there's times when we even see in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ when there were those that were kind of hanging around. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, there are people in the American church that are just kind of hanging around trying to decide. Do you know? Well, let me just have you look at this. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 66. Jesus was teaching. This is John 6, 66. Jesus was teaching to follow him. and to live for him. And then in verse 66, it says this in John 6, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. These were people that seemed to be followers, but they were just hanging around the message of Jesus. And there are perhaps people here today, listen, there are perhaps people here today, you're just hanging around the message of Jesus. Don't turn around and leave. Because these people did in verse 66, and look what Jesus said in verse 67. Then Jesus said to the 12, now these were his key disciples that were in the inner circle of those following him. He said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you don't want to go another way. I think about this. Where in the world would we go? Only Jesus has the words of eternal life. Kurt Shiver was telling me he's gotten a chance to go to Israel. I'm getting a chance to go to Israel in April, and there are folks from our church that are going, and it's getting close to the deadline. If there's anybody interested, you ought to pray about going, because I'm so thrilled about it. But he tells me that he's been here where this was at the synagogue in Capernaum. And at the synagogue in Capernaum, Jesus was teaching. He said to his 12, he said, will you also go away? And Simon Peter, who was from that area, his home was 50 yards away, maybe even closer. 50 yards, maybe less than that, away from the very place Jesus was saying these things. So Peter, if he ever wanted to go away, he could go away. He was right there at his house, like walking across this room. And Jesus was saying, do you want to go away? And Peter said, I'm sure he's looking at Christ and he's realizing his home right there. But Peter said this, where are we going to go? Folks, I can tell you this, after knowing Christ these years, I don't know where in the world I'd be without Jesus Christ. I don't know who I'd go to other than Jesus Christ. He's the only one that has blessed me the way he has blessed me, given peace. When I say blessings, I'm not talking about monetary things. I'm talking about peace that passes understanding. I'm talking about the joy of having a relationship with Christ. And no matter what you face, you have the presence of God with you. And so they said, where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And so Ruth made this statement. She said, entreat me not to leave you. In verse 17, she used the word Lord, indicating that she knew God. Things had changed. Something was different. I want to encourage you today to make your decision to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to encourage you, if you are a believer, to sell out to Christ. Make Jesus the Lord of every aspect of your life. When I was a teenager, our pastor used to use that phrase, sell out to Christ. Sell out to Christ. What that meant to me, I don't know what that means to you. What that meant to me is to let him be Lord over every area of your life. Your entertainment, what you're entertained by, the places you go, the things you look at, the things you say. Make Jesus Lord. Sell out to Christ. You'll never regret that. Because of her decision, things change. I want to tell you this, folks. Things begin to happen when you decide to go with Jesus Christ in your life. Things begin to happen. Peace comes that passes understanding, and God begins to work. Think about these promises. Matthew 6:33 says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God. In other words, make Jesus number one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then it says this, and all these things shall be added unto you. The things in life you think you're after, the peace that you really want deep down inside, that comes when you make Jesus number one. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. 2 Chronicles 16:9, one of my favorite verses, says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is perfect towards him. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when you make your decision for Christ, then you realize you come under the promises of God, and things begin to happen in your life when you give your life to Jesus Christ. So what happened to Ruth? Well, we know about her background. We also know about her decision. Her decision was to go back to Judah with Naomi. Now, the third thing is this. We look at her blessings. Do you know that Boaz came into the picture? Now, there's so much here in chapters 2 through 4. Most of this is all about Boaz. Boaz was a godly man in Judah that was impressed with Ruth. Ruth went out into the fields, and she worked hard to glean food for her and for her mother-in-law. And so she was a hard worker. Boaz was he owned fields, and he noticed her. He began to tell his workers, he said, "Hey, make it a little easier on this girl, Ruth." I think he was thinking she's pretty good looking too at the same time. I think, you know, he noticed that as well. There's other places, and we won't get into it, but there's other places in the scripture that leads me to believe that I think I can back that up with scripture. But anyway, the point is, and by the way, I tell our young people, I tell our college students, that they say, "Boy, I just wonder if the Lord's going to raise somebody up in my life." I tell them this. I say, you just run hard after God. You run hard after God. That means you just like a sprinter, like Usain Bolt. I mean, you see Jesus Christ down there, you just run hard after God. Don't look to the right or left. But now let me say this. If you're running hard after God and you look to the left and you see this really good-looking girl, and she's running hard after God, take another look. I tell you what, old Ruth was doing what she should have done, and Boaz noticed her. Now, Boaz was a relative of Naomi. He was what was known as a kinsman redeemer. What that meant was, in these days, if you were a widow, there was some other person in the family that had the responsibility of marrying you so that you could bear children to carry on the family name and the inheritance and all that went along with it. Well, Boaz did that. Boaz fell in love with Ruth, and she ended up marrying Boaz. Do you know that Ruth came into the line of the king in Matthew 1, and her great-grandson was King David. Now, here was Ruth, a foreign girl, not from Judah, from another culture, and yet because she made a decision, everything began to change in her life. Everything, all of her circumstances began to adjust. And as a result of her decision that she made and the character that she displayed, Boaz married her, and her great grandson would be King David. By the way, just on a side note, Boaz had a mother named Rahab. Can you believe it? Can you believe that Rahab, who was the harlot back in Jericho, she married a man from Judah, and their son was Boaz. And Boaz was a godly young man, leading us to know that Rahab had truly made a conversion in her faith and had raised Boaz in a way that feared God, the true God of Israel. And so here was Rahab's son Boaz, who ended up marrying Ruth. And as a result, her great-grandson was King David. Now, I want you to think about Ruth as we close here. She was a Gentile. She was spiritually destitute. She was an alien in a foreign country. She was a stranger of the covenant. She didn't know about the covenants of God at the time. She was hopeless and godless. She was living in spiritual poverty. And yet God had a great plan for her. You know that the book of Ephesians talks about our background. And the book of Ephesians says this, that at the time you were without Christ. Paul is speaking this in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. He says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Her decision, the providence of God, brought her near to the kingdom of God. She married Boaz, and the rest is history. Folks, let me tell you this. The blood of Jesus Christ can draw you near. You feel lonely today. You wonder if God's involved in your life. Can I tell you this? Jesus Christ has made it possible, listen, for you to be brought near to Almighty God. So here are some takeaways that I want you to think about, and I want you to write these down if you can. Number one, things start happening when you commit your life to Christ. Number one, things start happening when you commit your life to Christ. Number two, God works behind the scenes to bring you where he wants you. He did it for Ruth, but he also did it for Naomi. Now, do you remember in chapter 1, Naomi says, I'm bitter. She thought God had turned his back on her because she had had so much heartache. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a tough life. Sometimes we have heartache in our life, don't we? Sometimes we have difficulty. Naomi was from Judah. She was from Israel. And so she felt like the Lord maybe had turned his back on her. When you go to the end of Ruth, you realize that Naomi was restored. And so here's the second takeaway. God works behind the scenes to bring you where he wants you. He did it for Ruth, but he did it for Naomi also. The circumstances brought Boaz into the picture. And then number three, realize that the gospel is for all people. And we are to look for those who need to know the real meaning of Christmas. Merry Christmas, congregation. Ruth walked to Bethlehem, and you can too. I think about Tamar and the twins. Someone you never would have dreamed would have been in the lineage of Jesus, in the line of the king. Tamar and the twins. Merry Christmas, church family. Rahab the harlot. Someone you would have never guessed in a million years would have been in the lineage of Christ. Rahab the harlot. Merry Christmas, church family. And then Ruth, the alien foreign girl from Moab, who made a decision to trust in the God of Judah, and as a result, her life was forever changed. Do you ever feel forgotten, lonely? You don't have to, because God is working behind the scenes in your life. You say, oh, Pastor, I just happened to be here today. I could list out for you. You would say to me, I could list out for you the circumstances of why I'm here today. Well, humanly speaking, you could. But do you understand, my friend, that there's an omnipotent God in this world that literally shapes the affairs of man? And in his providence, I don't know why you're here today. You're hearing this message today. And I want you to know God has worked behind the scenes for you to know of his love. Because of the blood of Christ, you can be brought near. So if you are not a believer in Christ today, I want to encourage you to trust in Jesus. If I thought getting on my hands and knees and begging you would make a difference, I'd do it. But I know that it is a decision of your will. But I just want you to know that if you feel the slightest desire to give your life to Christ, that's not an accident. The Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation, saith the Lord. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. That verse tells me that if you feel the slightest desire to give your heart to Christ, that's not an accident. That is the Holy Spirit of God wooing your heart to him, to trust him, to be your personal Savior. Maybe you're a believer in here, but you need to sell out to Jesus. Because when you make that decision, like Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. By the way, I think that you notice in that verse, at the end of verse 17, after she said that, the Bible says she spoke to her no more about it. You catch that little phrase there? She talking about Naomi, spoke to her no more about it. I think that Naomi looked into the eyes of Ruth, and she looked into her eyes, and she realized this girl's not going to change. She really is trusting the God of Israel, and she wants to go back. And I imagine that as she looked at her, and Ruth looked up at her and said, entreat me not to leave thee, for where you lodge, I will lodge. Your God will be my God. And then she used that word, Lord. And I think Naomi realized it, and Naomi said, all right. And she took her arm in her arm and said, let's go to Bethlehem. And there they go. Some of you need to say, I'm going to Bethlehem. I'm making my decision as a non-believer to trust in Christ, as a believer to say, Jesus, you have all of me. Things begin to happen when you make your decision to trust Him. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.